Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
We're going to start the afternoon session here. Welcome everybody. I'm going to now introduce Dr. Val Larkin and Jill Smith with their colleague Judy Tennant. They're going to be doing a presentation on student advised experiences, and they're from Northumbria University. So I'll hand over to them.
Hello, thank you very much. Can everybody hear me?
No.
Well, can everybody hear me now if I try and project a little bit more? If I go quiet, give me a wave, Val, and I'll try and yell again, okay? So, hello, thank you very much for inviting us down here, up here, whatever direction we've come in from the northeast. We've come from Northumbria University, and we'd like to share with you a small research project that we have ongoing at the moment. So what we're going to present to you is some tentative findings, because it's still ongoing, we're still in the process of collecting and analysing data. But it will be really interesting for us to get some feedback from you and hear what some of your experiences are and how this resonates with you, so that would be really useful. So the small piece of research is about student midwives, their experiences and confidence surrounding postnatal assessment. I'm Val Larkin. Then we've got Jill, who's also part of the team. And also over here we've got Julie Tennant as well, who's also part of the research team. So why did we choose this topic to research? Well, as we're all, I'm sure, aware, as midwives, we do have a professional responsibility to assess women's well-being throughout the childbirth continuum, and that includes during the postnatal period. We know over the last few decades, century or so, we've had some big successes. Maternal mortality rates have really plummeted, they're much more reduced due to widespread public health initiatives such as sanitation, reduction in poverty, introduction of antibiotics, so on and so forth. But what we also know is in the last few years, we've had a few surprises, haven't we? CMS report, sudden big increase in genital tract sepsis became the leading cause of maternal mortality. Luckily, with the more recent Embrace report, we know that genital tract sepsis has reduced, but still remains quite a concern for us. However, what we are aware of is postnatal morbidity has maintained at quite a high rate, and this includes morbidity associated with the genital tract, so perineal infection, trauma, longer-term health implications because of the perineum, uterine infection, uterine bleeding. Because of all of this, we do know that assessment and prompt identification and treatment of genital tract problems postnatally remains a health priority for women and therefore for midwives. What has changed as well over the last decade or so is how midwives decide on what methods of assessment they're going to use postnatally. And what we have now professionally is the guidance changed. It's up to midwives to decide individually with the women how they're going to assess the genital tract, what methods and approaches that they'll use. I'm one of the old school midwives. I remember the days when we used to go in and we used to do set assessments. Anybody else from those days is in the room who remembers that far back? Yes. Well, it's all changed now. It's all changed. Now, obviously, so we know that midwives have a responsibility postnatally to assess genital tract well-being. But this is happening within the changing context of postnatal care, which we know lots is going on in postnatal care. And from the women who are in the receiving end of postnatal care, from the midwives like yourselves who are delivering postnatal care, to the academics and the researchers who are researching postnatal care, there's some national concerns about what's happening. We've got a quote there from Ray and Bick about potential about a decline in the standard of care received, the reduction of inpatient stay and the number of postnatal contacts. We also know from the RCM audit of midwives that organisational pressures are what seem to be impacting upon the approach and quantity of postnatal contact rather than this individual assessment. So obviously that's raised concerns for us as a profession. This has been mirrored in some local concerns. A couple of years ago, I did some research locally in the northeast with midwives, and this resonated with them. They too had concerns about what was happening postnatally. But what they identified is what they found it had or felt had had the biggest impact on their learning had been their experiences of delivering postnatal care, which had given them a repertoire of skills to develop. And they had concerns because of the changes in postnatal care and the context and the organisation of it, that present-day student midwives were not being exposed to those sorts of experiences, and that this could have impact on students for their learning, but also for the long-term impact it could have on women and their care if students didn't develop the required skills. And interestingly, increasingly, in some of the national pieces of work, we're starting to hear some of the similar sort of concerns coming out. A quote there from the RCM, the number of postnatal contexts has decreased significantly during recent years with little evaluation of the impact. So what we needed to then think is, okay, well, what is it that students need? So we know from the professional guidance that students need theoretical and practice experience to develop the skills that they need. And this includes to have sound assessment skills of the woman postnatally. The Department of Health has set a mandate to Health Education England, saying that students must have appropriate support, and this includes the practice experience that they need with sufficient opportunities and time to gain the skills that they need. Theory isn't enough. So we decided what we needed to do is we needed to explore what the students said, because that's the voice that seemed to be missing. What do the students say? What do they think the challenges are? In fact, is it a problem or is it not? Do they feel like they're getting enough experience or not? So therefore, we developed this small research project to explore and hopefully to enhance student midwives' experiences of postnatal, with a particular focus on genital tract assessment. There has been a lot of work more recently looking at perinatal health, mental health and other issues, but we wanted to look at some of the physical aspects that we felt were perhaps being slightly marginalised in the curriculum. So how did we go about doing this? The research design, and don't worry, I'm not going to spend too long on this, is a case study. We've chosen a case study design because one of the advantages of that is you can use multiple different types of data to compare and contrast and try to get more of a fuller, if you like, naturalistic picture of what's going on. So some of the type of data that we have, we've got up at the top here, is we wanted to review the programme documentation, look at the intended curriculum. So what is it in our curriculum theoretically students are supposed to be covering, what they're supposed to be doing in practice. But we didn't just want to look at what we think they're supposed to be doing, we wanted to find out and what's really happening. So what we also did is undertook a survey of all final year student midwives. We have two intakes a year, so that's September and March, and also we have a shortened 18-month programme, and it included all of those. In addition, to give us more in-depth information, we've undertook up to 15, in the end we got 11, one-to-one interviews lasting up to an hour with student midwives, narrative style, so they could tell us in detail, in depth, what was happening, what they were doing, how they felt about their confidence in relation to postnatal assessments. And then we also pulled together a workshop to elaborate, hopefully confirm some of the initial findings, taking some of these findings back to the student midwives and asking them to come up with some suggestions of what they would like from the curriculum. And that final workshop just happened last week, so we will... later on in the presentation, I'll tell you some of the information of what happened at that presentation.
Hi, as Val said, I'm Jill Smith and part of the research team undertaking this study. I'm just going to talk to you about the survey section. Again, as Val said, can you all hear me in the back? If you can't, just let me know and I'll speak up. The survey section of this research was undertaken using a piece of software which I'm sure a lot of you will be familiar with called SurveyMonkey. So pretty sort of straightforward software to be used, and we actually sent it, the sample that we used was all final year midwifery students who were undertaking midwifery at Northumbria, but also to the final placement students undertaking the Shorthorn course, which is a postgrad diploma in midwifery at Northumbria. So we sent it out to all of those students. There was a total, the total number was 44, and we actually had 25 respondents. So the next few slides that I'm going to show you, again, are just some preliminary slides about the analysis to where we've got at the moment, because the final results will be all the analysis will be brought together from all sections, but this is just preliminary from the survey. The main sections of the survey that we asked the students about, there are four sections, and in each section there are some quantitative questions that we ask the students to respond to, but also some qualitative questions. And I'm going to give just a little bit of an overview of each area. So section one, we asked the students about the learning opportunities that they'd experienced. And that was both in the clinical area and in university. So section two was then about how they felt in terms of their confidence level, based on the experience that they'd had. Section three was factors affecting performance. We asked the students what it was that they felt had was either positive or negative in terms of affecting their performance. And section four was anything that the students felt could improve on what they'd experienced. So this first slide, if I can just explain this one to you, and then the other few slides follow the same pattern. The grid that you can see are the questions, if this just works, yes it does, the questions that you can see are what the students were asked. The actual numbers that we've given you in the columns, the students were asked on a bit of a Likert scale to say whether they strongly agreed, agreed, disagreed, or strongly disagreed with the statement. And how we've colour-coded it is the green ones are the sort of more positive comments where students are strongly agreeing or agreeing, and the amber are when students are disagreeing, and the red are when there's a lot strongly disagreeing. So really, we're just going to focus for these next few slides on those areas that are maybe not so positive, to highlight some of those areas. With this first one, this question asked about learning opportunities in the practice experience. And this was largely positive. Most students actually felt as though they could identify most of the risk factors associated with genital tract assessment, that they could communicate well with women and undertake the observations such as palpating the abdomen for the uterus. Some of the challenges, however, in this were some of the students, for example, three students felt they hadn't had experience taking into account vital signs, or hadn't had experience of actually visualising the perineum of women. And some students, nine students, felt they'd have no opportunity to visualise lochia. Some of the qualitative comments that were supporting this question were saying some students felt it was really useful where they'd been able to see the same woman on several occasions to see the changes in the genital tract assessment, where students were commenting it was negative when they hadn't had that opportunity to do so. It was a similar picture when we asked about the theoretical component. Students mostly felt that, you know, they did have a general understanding of what risk factors were, how to obtain information from women, and how to undertake palpation of the abdomen. But again, there was a feeling among students that there was a lack of visual instruction about what perineum should look like and what lochia might, you know, a visual assessment of lochia might consist of. In addition, qualitatively, some students also felt there was a lack of practical experience in abdominal palpation as well, theoretically. The next section, too, was about confidence. In this question, despite the fact that there were some negative comments in the previous two about their experience, most students, you can see it's all mainly green, felt very confident in general tract assessment. A few of the challenges were again around visual assessment of the perineum and lochium. When we ask students about factors affecting their performance, you can see on the slide quite marked red and amber over in the areas about things such as the location of postnatal services having an impact on their experience and where the assessment was carried out. Some students felt access to experience was easier in hospital than home, but large numbers of women are being discharged early postnatally now. So many students felt it was the actual location and the service setup that was important in their learning. When we asked the students about areas for improvement, this question was only qualitative. And I've just put a few quotes up there that are perhaps pertinent, but again, this is all preliminary and might change as the study progresses. But students felt they wanted more clinical sessions in a way to compensate for some of the lack of experience they felt they were getting in the clinical area, and that the more visual those experiences could be would be better, would be an improvement. And this idea of the environment having a huge impact, and also encouraging, some of the students felt it would be useful to encourage women to support student experience by having the students do postnatal general tract assessment, regardless of whether it was required, particularly on the same woman, so that they got continuity of experience throughout general tract assessment.
Okay. I'll just talk you through some of the initial findings that we've got to date in relation to the interview data. So far we've interviewed 11 student midwives. We've provisionally analysed 7 of those interviews. And by provisional, I mean that we need to spend a little bit more time looking in depth and pulling out conceptually more themes. But to give you some idea of what's coming out of it, what's definitely coming out of it is students do seem to have some awareness of potentially genital tract problems or forms of assessments they might use. They know they need to get to the level of being confident. In between, hence Amber, we've got some access issues. Students need to access appropriate learning experiences. And what's coming out of the interview data is that they do have some access dilemmas. So if I talk you through some of the quotes, just a few examples here of quotes about awareness. So you can see here, I always say, you know, if you start noticing a smell or if it starts getting more painful or if you feel like it's swelling, there's a discharge. That's when you need to tell someone and let someone look at it, the perineum. So obviously the student is demonstrating she knows what to look out for. She's got some awareness of signs and symptoms. She's also demonstrating there as well that she's aware that she needs to give guidance to the women as well. The second one there, we just asked how her blood loss and things have been. So it talks about use of questioning, which we know is another very common assessment method. But also under awareness, students also had awareness that they didn't know everything. And actually at times they felt unsure about what to do. If I'm honest, now I'm thinking about it, I'm a bit unsure of what I would be looking for if something was going wrong. So that's a little bit of concern. So some of the issues around access, one of the most prevalent ones is this one in the square box up here, which tells us a lot about some of those challenges Jill's already mentioned to do with the way that the service is configured, conflicting priorities, and sometimes students being treated as the extra pair of hands. We had a postnatal ward mixed with antenatal bay, and the antenatal bay was where the majority of the midwife's energy was spent. A lot of the time, I'd be in there stopping people's IV beeping and putting them on CTGs and doing all that stuff. So you can see even in the curriculum documents, we think we're giving student midwives exposure to some postnatal experiences, but we're finding out we're not actually. They're being used in other ways. Also, one of the key things about access dilemmas that's coming across is the skills of the mentors to gain appropriate learning experiences for the students. And this could go in two directions. Sometimes mentors are coming across as being very effective at doing that, and sometimes not quite so effective, as this second quote demonstrates. No, the mentor didn't explain why she decided not to use clinical observations to inspect the woman's perineum. But then I didn't ask. I think we can see things coming from two directions here. And this last quote, I focus myself on learning all the different obstetric conditions and getting so obsessed with intrapartum and then leaving that postnatal assessment to the side a little bit. And this is a theme that's coming across really in the curriculum, in perhaps in theory, in practice, but also students themselves, that other issues tend to start take priority and postnatal care is getting overlooked a little bit. Then they talk about what leads to confidence, and as you can see at the bottom, it's only words on the paper until you actually go out in placement and see things. That's what's coming through really strongly. It's seeing things, doing things that makes it really, really sort of realistic for students and drives the message home. Students also talk about the second quote there up at the top, about starting to take the lead in practice, and that becomes really important when they start to get the opportunity to develop their own practice style. And part of developing their own practice style, as the third quote talks about, is them questioning themselves, questioning practice. And perhaps we need to have create opportunities for students to do that even more. So last week I did mention we presented back to the students in the curriculum development workshop some of these provisional findings that we've shared with you, we shared with them in a little bit more detail, to ask them to elaborate on our findings, if they could confirm them, which they did, they agreed with the sort of things that were coming up with, they said yes, that was the case. We also got them to evaluate their input into the research process, and what was really interesting is being involved in research, they felt it actually improved their ability to undertake postnatal assessment because it had made it much more visible to them and in the curriculum. But also, being exposed to research had been really useful for them as well. They felt that they would now be more confident to undertake research themselves in the future. We also asked them as a group to start to identify, these are the issues, what do you think some of the solutions would be? And then we asked them to rank them. So these are just the top three that they came up with. So first of all, they wanted us to provide additional direction to facilitate access to postnatal practice experience. Now in blue, we put skills passport. That's something that we use at Northumbria, which is direction about particular experiences students have got to get. It's in addition to their NMC numbers, the 100 this, the 40 that. We also write lists of other things. And actually, when we've looked at it, there isn't anything there really about postnatal assessment. Not much anyway, not in comparison to intrapartum care. So they say, put more in there, then we'll have to do it, and we can use it with our mentors to get the experiences we need. As Jill mentioned, they talked about visualisation being key as well, and acknowledging that they don't always get their experiences in practice, so we need to think about creative learning opportunities, some perhaps a blended learning package we can come up with. But what was really interesting, and I don't know what the students in the room think about this, they also said test us more. That the curriculum sometimes, particularly with higher education now, where students get a choice of three out of, you know, they do two out of so many essays, that type of thing, that perhaps students can meander away from certain areas that they don't want to be tested on. And they said, no, you need to test us. So we'd be interested, perhaps not now because the next speaker might need to come on, but do catch us at the end. What are your views on some of our preliminary findings? And do they resonate with your experiences? Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.